Hi, it's Pete Norstead here, and welcome to another Focused on Football and Trade on Sports Betting podcast. As usual, I'm joined by Jimmy Kempton. How are you doing, Jimmy?
Excellent, thank you, my good man. How are you?
Yes, very good. I understand that your training's now finishing for a week Saturday, where you'll be running 40 miles.
Yes, I will be running 40 miles. I was just saying off air, listeners, that I'm getting a bit of brain fog at the moment with all this exercise I'm doing, coupled with a full-time job and other commitments. I'm getting a bit of brain fog. Well, at least that's what I'm blaming that Spurs pick on, Pete. That's
well, yes.
Brain fog.
This is after timing here, but... I think I saved myself so much, a little bit when I said, in the FA Cup semi-finals, oh, I like the looks of unders on both of those games. You know, yeah. I went with Spurs. I mean, Spurs were really good value, but that was a terrible performance, wasn't it?
They're the best value 6-1 losers I've ever seen at the weekend, Spurs were. Yeah. Dreadful. I was led on the sofa and I was like, what the actual fuck is happening here?
That's terrible, isn't it?
It wasn't even pub defending, was it?
No. We can discuss it now. The Brighton semi-final I watched yesterday. I just didn't think Brighton were just quite good enough. They just weren't good enough just to win. They played very well, but they just weren't good enough.
Yeah, well, I didn't see any of that game, so I can't really comment. But it does show you how far they've come, that we kind of almost sort of like raised an eyebrow when we saw them priced up as favourites. But by all accounts, they gave such a good account of themselves that they did justify that bookmaker favouritism.
Yes, they played well. Like I say, they had one or two chances, but the chances weren't clear enough. And when they did break, that guy, I can't remember his name now, the forward, he just kept the ball. He could have released the ball a little bit earlier, etc. It's just, you know what I mean? The Manchester United, that's why they pay the money they do, to have these players that are a little bit more consistent, isn't it?
Exactly. And you do worry for Brighton a little bit moving forward in terms of, yes, they have this business model of bringing players in, but now their success is almost going to potentially price themselves out of certain players, because all of a sudden a club will hear that Brighton are interested in them.
Yeah.
And they'll probably put another £5-10 million on that price tag. They won't be able to get those cheaper players in now that they develop. And then that might make them shy away from some of the players that they would normally have been able to grab the hands on over the next couple of years. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they evolve, because it's probably nearly three seasons now, isn't it, Pete, where we've been dismissing Brighton,
and they've been
slowly underrated. And this season they've exploded into one of the best sides in the league to watch.
Also, lower down, we've got the Championship now. It's interesting because they're showing, I don't know whether you've noticed, they're showing a game a night on Sky, but basically, and it makes it quite interesting.
Yeah, I did sort of hear about that. I don't know how they've worked the fixtures for that and how fair that makes it for some of the teams, but I suppose it's something to keep those viewing figures tricking along. I suppose, have they got the Man City Arsenal game Sky in midweek?
No, I don't think they have. I think that's on BT.
Oh, crikey. Well, there you go. That'll be why they're trying to keep people turning their eyeballs onto Sky if they've not got the prized possession that I'm sure we will come on to talk about.
Yes, I mean, like I say, these games, though, I think it's quite a good way of doing it, I think. I think it makes it very interesting.
Well, there was talk the other year about Sky looking to play games maybe five nights out of seven. So maybe this, for the Premier League, and I think the big clubs kick this into touch with obviously the European commitments and everything, but maybe this is a prelude and a tester to them trying to go back to the well with that idea.
Please. Yeah. Right, let's start then. We'll obviously... going to get the table. We'll obviously make comment as we go through on at how things are standing and looking. First up is Wolves against Crystal Palace. Recent head-to-heads, Wolves have won 2, Palace have won 2. There's been no draws. The handicap's minus a quarter. When minus a quarter, Wolves' record reads 1-4, drawn 2, lost 4. They come up a 2-1 defeat away at Leicester. Palace, when they're plus a quarter, 1-2, drawn 2, lost 6, coming off a 0-0 draw at home to Everton. Paris, they've won their last 4 against Wolves in all competitions. So, you know, they have a bit of a hoodoo side there. Minus a quarter, 553 matches, 229 home, 168 draw, 156 away. So you're looking at 229 plays, 240. Slight value, Palace. My ratings reckon. I think to be quite honest, both of these sides may be safe now.
I kind of think Wolves might just need one more win. I'm not saying that, you know, those sides in the bottom six are suddenly going to put in some incredible performances and go on a run of results. But you do get the odd shock here and there. And I think Wolves will see this as a good opportunity to get that win that they need. And when bottom half finishing sides play each other, they win 41% of games. So that does kind of equate to this minus quarter of a goal line. And I think it was a little bit disappointing, Palace, really, last time out, considering they've had those games where they've scored plenty of goals. To draw a blank against Everton at home was a little bit of a disappointment piece. So I'm actually on the other side of the fence to you here. I'm just going to lean a little bit to Wolves, minus a quarter. And I don't think the 27-20 on the home win is the worst price you might get because of the week, because I think Palace may struggle to find some motivation in the final few weeks, especially now they're safe, because Roy's not going to be there next year, is he? Sure.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
So now they're safe. Who are they playing for, some of these players? An interesting one to watch.
Villa against Fulham next. Villa won this fixture the last time the two sides met. It's minus three-quarter goal handicap. Villa went minus three quarters, 1-2, drawn 2, lost 1. Both of the victories were by 2 or more goals. They're coming for 1-1 draw away at Brentford. Fulham, when they're plus three quarters, 1-0, drawn 1, lost 3. Only one of the three victories were by 2 or more goals. Got for 2-1 victory home to Leeds. Villa now unbeaten in 9, and it wouldn't surprise me. Well, I don't see any real value in the line, but that then obviously favours Villa. I think Villa will probably be in that Europa League spot after this. Minus three quarters, 208 matches, 67 home, 67 times the home time I've covered, 62 half wins, 79 losses. So that's 98-79. Definite, you know, trend towards the home side. No value in the line, like I say, no bet for me.
Yeah, I mean, on the line of minus three quarters, I'm not suggesting that there's any great value back in Villa here, but certainly at 1.80 on the outright that you can get with Betway, Betfair, on the exchanges, you can get 1.82. I'm certainly not going to talk anybody out of back in Villa. The one caveat is that since I wrote Fulham season off a couple of weeks ago, they seem to be completely confounding me. And Mitrovic isn't as important as we thought. I mean, I do think even without the big centre forward for Fulham, I think we'll probably see goals here. As Villa have scored twice or more in five of the last six Premier League outings, and in six of the last seven home games. So they do score goals under Unai Emery. They're very entertaining to watch, and the goal line is set at 2.5. Although, if I was going to bet this game, by far the best value is the outright home win at 1.80.
Leeds Leicester now. It doesn't. You know, a vital, vital game this. Recent head-to-head, Leeds have 1-0. There's been 1 draw, Leicester 1-1. The handicap's minus a quarter. With minus a quarter, Leeds' record reads 1-3, drawn 4, lost 3. Come off of that 2-1 defeat away at Fulham. Leicester, when they're plus a quarter, 1-3, drawn 3, lost 4. Come off a 2-1 victory home to Wolves. Leeds, they've lost their last 3. And there's been 3 or more goals in their last 7 matches. So the Leeds' games have been full of goals. Minus a quarter, as we said before, 5-5-3, 2-2-9 home, 1-6-8 a half loss, 1-5-6 loss, 229-240. My ratings, as usual, what do you think? It's good value, Leicester. But I'm not going to play that. But I do feel, I think the loser of this game is in real peril.
Yeah, I definitely agree there, Pete. I think some of your Leicester ratings include Emil Heskey. Some of them, they seem to go back that far. This is probably, and I know people will laugh at me, but this is probably the biggest game of the midweek card for me. And I know we'll come on to Arsenal Man City in a bit, but this is a huge game. And it's more for sort of momentum and sort of confidence-wise more than the actual points at stake. Because a defeat for either side here isn't going to put a nail in their coffin, because there's five games left to go at the end of it and they'll have ample opportunity. But it's more the message of what it sends out. And there's a common perception here, and because of the way both teams play, because of all the goals that have been scored in their games this season, that there's going to be a lot of goals in this game. But when the sides met last season, this fixture ended one apiece. The opening game this season when the teams met ended in a Leicester 2-0 win, and no one both teams to score and under 2.5 goals has landed in each of the last two meetings. And when bottom six finishing sides meet each other, the home team wins 45% of the games, which equates to this sort of Leeds quarter of a goal line. But under 2.5 goals lands in 57% of those games. And that's a big sample size over the last few years. That's 150 games. Now, yes, both of these teams are involved in high scoring games this season. But I do think that the manner of this occasion will make this a very cautious, tight, tense game. Now, in some respects, when you look around who the other teams are playing, is a point a bad result for both teams in this game? I sense not. So I don't see either team, if they get one up, really stretching themselves to try and get that killer second goal. So, yeah, I think this is going to be a lower scoring game than many people predict. And I'm going to take under 2.75.
Yeah, just a quick word on these games as well. Because I have a look as you go into every game is on BT Sport. Every single game.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, no, so you can choose your games.
Is that why it's all stacked? The kickoffs are stacked?
Yes, probably.
Yeah, there's 15 minutes in between each one by the looks of it.
Next up, we've got Forest Brighton again. This is a vital game for Nottingham Forest. The handicap's plus one. When Forest have been plus one, they drew the last, they've drawn one. They're coming off a 3-2 defeat away at Liverpool. Brighton, when they're minus one, there's only been one occasion they won and they covered the handicap. They're coming off a 2-1 victory away at Chelsea. Forest lost six of the last seven. Plus one goal, 178 matches, 60 home, 49 push, 69 away. My rating suggesting good value, Forest. Obviously, we've dealt with the Brighton situation. I think I'm going to go with this. I think that result on Sunday, I think that could kick Brighton a little bit in the teeth. I just wonder how they're going to... One goal as well at Nottingham Forest. You know, they're going to look at this game and they're going to want something out of this game.
I've fully agreed. And you're almost making me sort of think about backing this because... Incredibly, Nottingham Forest have conceded less goals at home this season than Arsenal have. Forest have conceded 20, Arsenal have conceded 21. I mean, I'm quite staggered at that, really, when I've just drilled down into that. And when I first saw this line, I was like, aha, here's my opportunity to take Brighton on again. And I thought, well, we're not going to class them as a top six finishing side, even though they may finish in the top six, because, you know, they're not the juggernauts of your Liverpools back in the day in your Man City. So I only class them as a top half finishing side. But they still win 71% of games away to newly promoted teams who finish in the bottom six. And that's what Forest are going to be. So even if you just class Brighton as a team who could arguably finish 10th, the chances are they'll win 71 out of 100 of these games. That all of a sudden made me think maybe this full goal line isn't such a giveaway on Forest. But then when you look at the goal scoring stats for Forest, or the goals conceded, only 20 in 16 games, and they've played all of the big teams, haven't they, at home?
Mm.
It's not like they've still got Man City, Liverpool and Arsenal to play at home. Brighton have scored 29 away from home, so they do score, but they do concede as well. They've allowed 23 in on the travels. Don't think it's the worst bet you can make this midweek card, but it's probably one I'm going to keep away from, Peter.
Chelsea Brentford next. Recently, well, there's only been one match, and Brentford won this 4-1 last season. The handicap is -3/4, which to me is a little bit baffling. Chelsea were -3/4, 1-4, drawn 5, lost 1. Only one of the four victories was by 2 or more goals, coming for 2-1 defeats at home to Brighton. Brentford, when they've been +3/4 goals, they've lost all 3, and they've lost all 3 by 2 or more goals, coming for 1-0 draw at home to Villa. Chelsea not 1-5, Brentford not 1-6. Both teams are in very poor form. -3/4, 208 matches, 67 times the home side have covered it, 62 half wins, 79 losses. 98-79, so lean to the home. No value in the line, I'm saying, but you know, you have to ask with Chelsea, what the hell is going on? They'll be so pleased to see this season out, won't they?
Utter shambles. I'm desperately trying to find a reason to take Brentford on here, and I'm bar my sixth sense telling me at some point Chelsea will get a win. I can't really find one. They're 5 points ahead of Chelsea, yet they're 3/4 goal underdogs. They won 4-1 here last season, and you know, that was one of the first sort of games that started to sound the alarm bells under Thomas Tuchel. And how can you back this Chelsea side with any conviction? Well, you can't, especially laying over like half a goal against a really organised and motivated Brentford side. And we look at the league table and we see that the bees are, you know, they're comfortably placed. They've got no relegation fears, similar to last season. So I thought, well, let's go back and look at how Brentford did last season. Did they coast into the end of the season with those squad of players who achieved the ultimate goal for Brentford of staying in the Premier League? Did they toss it off the last few weeks? No, the last 8 games, Pete, last season, Brentford won 5, drew 1 and lost 2. And even just one of those losses came on the very last day of the season against that Leeds team who needed to win to stay up. So I don't see them taking the foot off the gas here, Pete. I think Brentford +3/4 of a goal is a pretty decent bet this midweek.
West Ham, Liverpool next. Recent head-to-heads, West Ham 1-2. There's been 1 draw, Liverpool 1-4. West Ham win +0.5, 1-4 drawn, 1-3. That's not bad. +0.5. What, you know, winning 4 out of 8. They're coming off a very good 4-0 victory away at Bournemouth, especially when you consider the way Bournemouth have been playing. Liverpool -0.5, 1-7 drawn, 0-3. Coming off a 3-2 victory at home to Forest. +0.5, 127 matches, 66 home, 61 away. Liverpool have won 6 of their last 7 against West Ham in all competitions. So they've got the you know, the lean over them. Value on my rating suggests value Liverpool. I'm not going to go with this bet, but it's interesting, isn't it, to know, say that if West Ham win this game, you know, they could be overtaking Chelsea and people will be wondering what was all the worry about.
Yeah, a crazy season for the Hammers, and somewhat so as well for Liverpool. And can we really trust either side in this game?
No, they're coming into some good form though, aren't they, West Ham?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And then it's at the right time of the season, yes, now, because yes, now they're going to be safe in this, in the Premier League. They can then start to really concentrate on the Europa League conference,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah,
you call it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't really trust Liverpool here, despite the fact they're scoring goals. They've got 11 in their last 3 Premier League outings. But this West Ham team have also started scoring goals. I mean, I remember us lamenting their attacking threat, you know, even probably a month or so ago, saying how they don't score goals. Well, they scored twice against Arsenal, 4 times against Bournemouth last time out. And, you know, after showing so little up front, they've now scored in each of the last 6 Premier League games. And if you throw into the mix their scoring exploits in the Europa Conference League, they're scoring goals again. I genuinely have no idea in this game, Pete. Again, it's one of those games at the London Stadium. With it being a night game, normally, if there's a big crowd in and a pumped-up atmosphere, you would like to find a way to support West Ham. But I'm not convinced now they're sort of edging ever closer towards, you know, mathematical safety, what kind of atmosphere they'll be in on Wednesday night. So, yeah, I've got to keep away from that one, mate.
Big game, obviously, next. Manchester City versus Arsenal. Recent head-to-head, City have been completely dominant. They've won six, been one draw, and Arsenal won none. Minus one, the handicap went minus one. City's record reads 1-4, drawn two, lost two. Three of the four were by two or more goals, come off a 3-1 victory at home to Leicester. Arsenal, when they've been plus one goal, they've lost both games, and they've lost both games by two or more goals. They cut off an exciting 3-0 draw. At home to Southampton. City won their last six. Arsenal have scored two goals in their last eight, but they're conceding. I don't see any value in the line. I think, to be honest, I do get the feeling that Manchester City will win this, possibly comfortably. I think Arsenal have just got to go for this. And they will, won't they, I think?
Yeah, I don't think they've got anything to gain by trying to hang on for a point.
I don't think they will. I don't think they know how to hang on for a point, to be honest with you.
No. And, I mean, we can sit here looking at this league table and you can make a great case to say that this line is purely wrong. You've got a team that are 5 points clear of another team, yet they're a full goal underdog against them. But the problem is that we've seen this before, and City have won the last 11 Premier League meetings of the sides. It's a combined scoreline of 29 goals to 4. When they met earlier this season, it was a relatively comfortable 3-1 win at the Emirates for Pep's men. And, you know, it looked a few weeks ago that they seemed destined to take the crown, to be honest, Arsenal. If they carried on, if they'd held on at Arsenal, if they'd have held on at West Ham, perhaps you might think that City might just say, do you know what, Arsenal, you can have this title. We'll concentrate on the Champions League. But that's not happening now. City will be focused. It'll be a really strong side. I think it'll be a hell of a game, Pete. Because Arsenal, A, don't know how to defend or hold on, you know, play for a draw. But B, it's actually the worst thing for them to do.
Yeah.
They just need to turn this into a basketball game. Hope they have a bit of luck, because we know, I look at this Arsenal team, Pete, and I don't see them not scoring in this game.
No.
And that's their best way of trying to get something from it. So, yeah, this could end up 4-2, 5-1, 3-2. I won't say 5-1 to Arsenal, but any of those other scorelines, I could easily see Arsenal scoring two or three times against City. It's just how many times will City score in such an open game?
Yeah, it's interesting. The last three games, the last three draws, they've been a hell of a game. They've been brilliant matches, haven't they? I mean, fantastic. The Liverpool game, you know, wow. They, you know, the first half hour, they played them off. But as with Arsenal, as with West Ham, first 20 minutes, you just could not believe it. And then on Friday, they very nearly won it, didn't they?
Do you know what, Pete? I was sat there thinking, if they win this game, Arsenal, they'll win the title. It was kind of one of those moments. Now, they still may go on to win it. But I thought it was one of them real pivotal moments in a title race. Where if they turned that down, the roof would have come off.
Yeah.
And they'd have won.
You know, if they'd have won those last three games, they would be 11 points ahead, wouldn't they?
Yep. Wow. And it's not like you're looking back and saying, well...
No, yes, I know what you mean.
It's like they were in position to do it. Now, obviously not against Southampton.
Yes, yeah, Southampton was a tough game, yes.
But even if they'd just won at Liverpool and won at West Ham,
yes,
they'd be 9 points clear.
Yes, it makes a hell of a difference, doesn't it? Your mentality is totally different.
Yeah. Hey-ho, never mind.
They've done well, though. They've played, you know, well, it's not over yet. We should see. We could be speaking, couldn't we? Yeah, and it's completely different. Everton-Newcastle next. Plus 3/4 of a goal here. Recent head-to-heads, Everton have had the better. They've won three, drawn two, and Newcastle won one. When plus 3/4, Everton's record's good. This is a good record. Everton, plus 3/4, 1-4, drawn three, lost two. Both of the defeats, though, were by two or more goals. They come off a 0-0 draw away at Palace. Newcastle, when they've been minus 3/4, not many occasions, but they've won one. They've 1-0, drawn one, lost one. They come off the 6-1 defeat at home to Spurs. 6-1 victory over Spurs, sorry. Everton now not one in five. Newcastle won six of the last seven. So, you know, Newcastle in some real good form. Morais is suggesting some value. Everton, when we look at plus three quarters, there's been 136 matches, 62 home, 54 half losses. 74 losses, so it's 62 home to 97 away. So there's a lean to the away side. My rating suggesting value Everton though, but I wouldn't touch this. Wouldn't surprise me if this is it. I think Newcastle are going to go for it though. I think Newcastle are going to try and finish as high as they can.
Oh, definitely. And it wouldn't surprise me if this game ended a draw, Pete.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
What I would say here is I hate Spurs, Pete, and we'll come on to how much I hate Spurs in a few minutes, but this line is now three quarters because of Spurs. Because of an embarrassing, shambolic performance that Spurs put in at St James's Park, this line has moved from a half to three quarters in Newcastle's favour. Now, I thought Newcastle played well in that first half an hour. I wouldn't say they would have torn every team in the world apart, but I'm not quite sure that what we saw yesterday at St James's Park can really justify a line move of a quarter of a goal. Now, we all know, I always go on about it, in terms of the lights on at Goodison Park, a big game, down the bottom end of the table, the atmosphere that Goodison generates. It's going to be a hostile place for the Newcastle players to go to. Now, they're 7-6-3 on the road this season. Four of those seven wins have come by two or more goals. So they're not just scraping victories away from home by the odd goal. They are winning by margin. And Everton did draw 0-0 at Palace last time out. Now, I think that's a really good result, given what we said earlier about Palace scoring lots of goals since Roy's come back. I think that's a positive sign for Sean Dyche's men. I still don't think Newcastle should be favoured by more than half a goal for this trip, Pete. It's a big lean to Everton for me. Can I take it? No, I can't. But it's definitely the side I'd be playing if I was looking to make a bet.
I'll tell you what, you know, when you look at these the recent performances of Newcastle, they've definitely arrived now, haven't they? They were good against Manchester United at home, and obviously brilliant against Spurs. And indeed, at West Ham the other night, well, a week or so ago, they played brilliantly, didn't they?
Yeah, and do you know what? I'm so pleased they've done it by appointing Eddie Howe, not chucking ridiculous amounts of money at players. They're just building it slowly, and I'm hoping that they sort of, you know, give Eddie some money to spend and not be on at him to try and sign on Mbappe and make some ridiculous signings with the oil money that they've got. If they continue with this model, well, there's no telling where it can take them.
And
it also shows a few years ago when people were talking about Eddie Howe as an England manager, and then he had a bit of a rough time at Bournemouth, which is understandable given the resources available to him.
Yeah.
Fantastic job by him.
Another vital game now, Southampton against Bournemouth. Recent head-to-head, Southampton 1-2, there's been two draws, Bournemouth are 1-1. The handicap is minus a quarter. When minus a quarter, Bournemouth... Southampton's record reads 1-4, drawn 3, lost 3, come off that 3-0 draw away at Arsenal. Bournemouth, when they're plus a quarter, it's not bad. 1-6, drawn 1, lost 3. So they've won 6 of 10 when they've been plus a quarter away from home. Come off a 4-0 defeat at home to West Ham. Southampton now not 1-7. It's looking a little bit worrying. Minus a quarter, 5-5-3, 2-2-9 home, 1-6-8 half losses, 1-5-6 losses. So 2-2-9 to 2-40. No value in the line. I think Southampton need to win this. That's all I would say.
They do. I'm surprised they're favoured in this game, to be honest. I thought this game would have been off scratch. And I think a lot of the outcome of this game, Pete, is how will Southampton take that trip to the Emirates last Friday night? Is your glass half full or is it half empty? Because if it's half full, you say that you've gone away to the team that could be crowned league champions and you've nearly come away with the result. If your glass is half empty, you talk about the two goals you've let in at the end and you nearly lost it. Interestingly, run the stats. In the last five completed seasons, Southampton, at home to bottom half finishing teams, have only won 18 of 45.
Yeah.
And this has been in a time when they've actually done quite well in certain seasons. They just can't beat the teams in the lower half of the table who come, put men behind the ball.
Yes.
They're just not good enough to break them down.
Do you remember those days, you know, or, you know, we've been doing this podcast now for some years, but do you remember, you know, a few years ago, you never used to be confident at Southampton at home, did you?
No, but then you'd always take them sort of scratch or plus a quarter of a goal against anyone in the bottom half when they're away from home.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
It's almost a sort of a tradition on this podcast that these are the sorts of spots we'd oppose Southampton in. And Bournemouth have won their last two away games at Spurs, however you count that, and at Leicester. But importantly, both of those games, they've kept clean sheets. So, yeah, massive lean to Bournemouth here. Huge pressure game for Southampton. But they have been impressive under Ruben Sellers. And let's not take away from them their performance on Friday night, that they played very well and they nearly managed to return home with a win. So I'm not completely writing them off in this game.
Spurs Man United next. This game's off scratch. I'm just checking that. That is off scratch, isn't it, this game?
It was, but it seems to be taken down everywhere at the minute. Although looking at the checker, Man United seem to be...
Yes, it could be minus... Yeah, it could be minus a quarter to Manchester United. But it's off scratch at the moment. I'm pinnacle. Anyway, recent head-to-head, Spurs 1-3, Man United 1-3. There's been one draw. When off scratch, Spurs record reads 1-4, drawn 1, lost 1, cough of the 6-1 defeat away at Newcastle. Manchester United, when they're off scratch, 1-3, drawn 4, lost 3, cough of the 2-0 victory away at Forest. United kept a clean sheet in 6 of their last 8. Scratch 242 matches, 80 home, 77 push, 85 away. My rating is suggesting good value Tottenham Hotspur, but there is just no way you would touch them on this. I can see this being a draw or a Man United win.
Well, the first thing because this line, folks, has only just popped back up, and I'm just surprised that this goal line's held at 2.75 goals. From what we've seen of late, especially sort of United, maybe they're factoring a Harry Maguire mistake, I don't know. But I know recent head-to-heads of the sides have seen plenty of goals. But when I watch both of these teams, I don't really get that enthused about them going forward, especially when they take on a fellow sort of top team in inverted commas. I mean, Man United have only scored 46 goals in 30 games this season. I mean, that's I won't say pitiful, but it's not very good, is it, Pete?
No.
Brentford have scored 2 more than Man United. And let's have a look. Leicester have only scored 3 less. I mean, this Man United side, they've become very functional and workmanlike, but at times they're not very creative. Big lean to the under 2.75 goals here, Pete. But on the match line, Christ, I would not want to bet either of these teams with even your money at the moment, mate.
Yeah. Let's round this up then. I'm just going to go for the one bet this week, and it's going to be Nottingham Forest plus 1 goal at home to Brighton. I think it's going to be tough. What Brighton went through yesterday, I think it's going to be tough for them to beat Forest by 2 clear goals.
I think that's a really good situational play from you, Pete. The listeners will know I can't bet on or against Brighton after what they've done to me. But in terms of not just looking at the line and the trends, but actually the position that this game is sandwiched in terms of Brighton's season, Pete, I think that's a really good proposition. I'm just going to have the one bet. It's going to be a goals bet, and it's under 2.75 goals in the Leeds v Leicester. I think it's actually going to be a much more cautious game than the bookmakers think, because I think both teams will probably take a point. And I think even if a team goes ahead, they're not really going to force the pace.
Right, we shall be back Friday for the weekend's action. And have a good midweek, everybody, and good luck.
Best of luck, everybody.